Hey everybody, welcome to Barcelona, Spain for TechEd Europe 2014.
I'm used to doing like a T-minus 2, T-minus 3, T-minus 12.
We are T-minus 0.
Yes.
Actually, we've gone T-plus because the keynote has just wrapped up.
You are correct.
As you can see, the flood of people behind us. We're live on the Channel 9 stage. We've got a huge program going on.
So this is streamed from, you're watching this already, but in case you're just standing around here, you're welcome to come down anytime during the next 2 days. We're going to have a whole slew of interviews of a whole bunch of people. Today's kind of the keynote day. We get a lot of people. You're going to be talking to Xander.
Yes.
I'm going to be talking to Ms. White, as well as Rusinovich. Some other friends of ours as well are going to be coming down doing some different sort of stuff. And hopefully we're going to have a brief chance to talk to the winners of the Imagine Cup as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. They were just on the main keynote stage, so waiting for their arrival.
Okay.
Until then,
I'm just being told that the guests are here. They're going to run them up in a little bit.
But excellent. That means you're going to boot me off the stage,
soon,
aren't you?
Soon. I think we should play the last countdown show. What do you think?
The very last countdown show. Well, so understand, we had the opportunity to come out here to Barcelona. We talked a lot about what was happening.
Yes.
We saw a lot of sights, a lot of sounds.
Made a lot of friends.
We did meet a lot of friends. But what people don't see is the madness and the insanity that actually goes on in making this countdown show work. And apparently, our producer, director, filmer extraordinaire, the Nas, has given us... This is scary, because I haven't seen this yet. Apparently, there's a blooper roll.
Okay.
Nas, you going to roll that video? We ready to roll that video? Yeah, let's roll that. Roll the bloopers. This is scary.
Oh my God, sorry, I'm gonna drop the camera.
All right.
Action.
Do what you wanna do.
Well, I always find myself.
Wait, he was going like. Oh my God.
I work under these conditions.
You gotta set it up in the power plant. Call 1-800, I need support.
1-800, I don't give a f-.
Standing in something.
Hello.
That's Egyptian, not a robot.
The hell?
You're still
putting
here?
The straws in. No, put the straws
what are you
in.
Doing?
Give me a stack of hundreds instead of cutting me a check. I'm leaving.
It's over. Go home.
Oh, those are always fun to watch. The first time I've been able to see that blooper reel since the beginning, I've been keeping it a secret. So thanks out to the Nas and the Caitlin for putting that together. But I am now joined by the winners of the 2014 Imagine Cup. Now, you guys literally just ran from the keynote stage.
That's yep, right. Still
so
slightly short of breath.
First of all, thank you for coming down to be able to chat with us, to be able to talk about some stuff. But you know, I'm curious, something that didn't come out on the stage so far, because, you know, Mr. Xander, of course, being on the keynote,
yes.
stage, he gets to ask the questions that I was going to ask, so he's taking all my questions. So I'm just throwing this all caution to the wind. Now, first of all, probably a simple one you've heard before. How did you get involved with the Imagine Cup down in Australia?
So in terms of the Imagine Cups, it started off with a national final. We entered there. We had no expectations whatsoever. We were very excited when we won the national final, and from there, kind of made our way to Seattle and won the became the world champions this year.
Now, there was some kind of nuance where actually you won the worldwides before you officially won the nationals or something like that with some kind of timing, something like that. I was reading a little bit about you on the website, so that was a little bit of a weird juxtaposition. But I would like to know more about your application itself. Inemia, is that how you would say it?
That's Inemia.
Okay, so where did you come up with the idea?
So, like we were saying, we were actually based, we're both medical students, and we were both on placement out in a rural area called Mildura, which is 6 hours north of any major city.
Okay.
And there were people coming in, it took 3 hours to come into Mildura, and they're coming from the outlying farms and areas, and we realized that a lot of people had anemia. And anemia is a really simple diagnosis, and it's but it's also really prevalent in areas with difficulty accessing healthcare. So we decided to make a simple way that people can screen themselves at home for having anemia, so we can pick up cases that wouldn't otherwise come in, because who's going to make a 3-hour trip into town just to get that done?
Just for anemia check. Now this does not involve any kind of surgical stuff or sterile gloves or anything else like that. This literally is simply an application that you guys have developed for the phone that's tied into the cloud.
Yes, so really all you need is this piece of a color reference, which is what we've printed out, and the app, and it's as simple as taking a selfie. So you take your phone, pull down your eyelid, and then take a selfie.
Yep.
And that's it.
That's it.
Now, curiously enough, are you guys and gals developers? Did you write it yourself? Did you get some help to be able to write this up after you came up with the idea and the science behind it?
So in terms of our background, we're both medical students.
Yes.
We developed this entirely ourselves from scratch.
Wow.
We both learned how to code on the side. We love doing it. Gerald's a part-time game developer, and we both kind of just got together, thought of ideas, and just made this whilst we were on our hospital placement 6.5 hours north of Melbourne. So.
Right. Now, just out of curiosity, have you had a chance or an opportunity to try out like real trials at a larger scale with multiple devices? Like, what kind of scale have you guys been able to try this out with so far?
So, currently, what we've done is that we're running two trials in hospitals.
Okay.
So we've got two hospitals on board in Melbourne, one in an urban setting and one in a rural setting. And we've got about 270 patients now. And out of the 270 patients, we've got about 900 photos. And we've been finding that our app can actually pick up 95% of cases of severe anemia, which is much better actually than what humans have. Because if doctors, when they look at patients, they try to get a feel of whether someone's anemic or not, they can only pick up to about 80% of people with severe anemia.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out that the app, even in its preliminary stages, can outperform some doctors already, which is very encouraging.
Now, I'm assuming this is not the kind of app that you're going to be having inside the App Store, that anyone can go off and pick this up for the Microsoft Store. This is an app that's going to be available at these different places where there's trained professionals to be able to use it.
So when we initially thought of the app, we realized that the problem was access. So we wanted to create something that was simple, that would enable people who weren't necessarily trained in medicine to be able to be able to identify risk of anemia. So essentially anyone will be able to use it in the future.
Wow. So now you tell me this and my phone is over there, so I can grab my phone and be able to try to give myself a self-diagnosis to see how that is.
Yeah.
One of the perks that I heard, and again, Mr. Zander went ahead and asked you about this before, is you got to spend some time with Mr. Bill Gates.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
So now, I've been at Microsoft now for 10 years. I've had two Bill experiences where I basically walked past him and our elbows brushed once. And the other time, I almost got taken out by his entourage at an event that we were at. So that's about as close as I've gotten to Mr. Gates.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about some cool things that happened when you were there. I'm assuming it was at his foundation, was it?
It was at his private offices.
Oh, okay.
But we had a 2-on-1 meeting with Bill, and he gave us a lot of good advice. So what was really interesting was that he came totally armed with knowing exactly what we were doing, the problem that we were trying to solve, and the populations that we were targeting. And he knew everything about the developing world. He knew everything about what were the obstacles that would be facing us. For instance, he knew that for our app to be successful, even though it would be available to everybody, like I said, on the App Store, available for common use, it has to have the same medical rigor as something that would be released to train health professionals, because otherwise it wouldn't have the same utility as other devices.
Mm-hmm.
So he came with really good advice, key obstacles that we had to overcome, and key barriers that he said these were the key challenges for us to go across.
Very cool. Any cool observations that you noticed at all?
Well, something that was interesting.
Was he wearing a nice sweater? Was
something that was interesting at the start was, so, well, certainly I was did not believe that I was just about to meet Bill Gates until the minute he walked in. And it was just this momentary silence. We were both like, who's supposed to start talking? Do we start or do we wait for something?
Do we wait to be anointed by Bill to say, how are you doing?
Yeah.
So obviously you gave him a bit of a demonstration. He gave you some feedback and some different ideas, stuff like that. Did he do any code review for you to check your comments, that sort of stuff?
We showed him our Azure backend.
Okay.
So that was one thing. But no, we didn't go through any absolute code. For us, the advice that we received from him was not so much nitty gritty little details about how you should put comments on your code or things like that, but more on what the strategic plan for us would be and what our next steps would be, which is basically to get as much research done as possible, get as much medical research published, and make it valid and make it useful.
Yeah. Now, you may not know this, but we actually have the ability to take live questions from the website. So if anyone's actually watching at channel9.msdn.com, you are able to go in on that page and be able to register yourself to be able to have a question. They'll come up, and I'll see it on this magical prompter, which is right over there, just in case anyone wants to ask any of you a question. Now, you mentioned that you're also a part-time game developer.
Yes.
Are you going to have some gamification going on, perhaps, in the how many scans you can do and get points for those scans or something like that?
So that's certainly an aspect we haven't thought of yet. So gamification is very useful in a lot of things because it converts, I guess, spare human brain power into useful work.
Yep.
But in this case, what we really need at the moment is people on the ground in different populations. So not just in the population of Australia where we're testing it in, but in places like Africa, people who have malaria, people who have dengue, those kind of diseases that we don't see in Australia. Mm-hmm. And we want to test our app on these populations to see if it can work as equally as well as it does in our population in Australia.
Oh, okay. So seeing if different factors of different diseases are going to go in and impact the results to make them more accurate sort of stuff.
Exactly.
How does your app actually tie into the cloud? Does it save some level of detail or data that's up there that's then used from a crowdsourcing perspective, just out of curiosity?
So basically, the cloud's used for all kinds of processing.
Okay.
And because it's image processing, and that's compute intensive and memory intensive.
Right.
And obviously, if we offloaded that to the devices, that means that we restrict the amount of devices to only the very high-end smartphones. Mm-hmm. And that's clearly not the market we're trying to target if we want to hit people who have difficulty accessing healthcare to begin with. So what we've done is that we've made our service accessible through SMTP gateways as well as MMS gateways, so that people can send a text message or send an email containing a picture, and then the server will process it and then return the value.
Okay.
So that means that anyone with any phone, as long as you can take a photo and you can upload it, will be able to use our service. And that means we can reach a much wider population and reach the people we want to target.
Okay. How about a V2? Have you already started to think of enhancements and what to change? Are you allowed to share that? Or are you saving that for Imagine Cup 2015 that just started recently?
That's
anything
a good question.
You can share or some great ideas that you're thinking about doing now?
So something that we presented at the Imagine Cup, anemia is often an underlying sign of many, many other conditions. For example, anemia may be the only early sign of bowel cancer, maybe the only early sign of worm infection in young children, and both of these have potentially significant consequences. So in the future, our V2 is, we're not only wanting to provide a screening tool to tell an individual their risk, we want to also be able to provide people with a list of causes. So you have anemia, but what are the reasons for having anemia? And that's something else. We're also looking currently at integrating a couple of other things into it to making a much more powerful screening tool. So there is a version 2 and possibly others coming out.
Nice. How about some advice for some people that might be thinking about starting up their own Imagine Cup team coming up in 2015? I mean, it's already kind of started, I believe, in September, if I remember correctly from the internal memo about Imagine Cup. But what are some advice that you would tell some people that were hesitant about throwing their hat into the ring or something like that to make them kind of go ahead and get started?
I think for both of us, Imagine Cup has been an amazing opportunity to really get our sort of idea into something that we can see that is going to come out soon. And in terms of tips and tricks, it really is, we've both discussed this, and it's about trying to identify what is the problem that you are trying to solve.
Okay.
So it's not about creating a lot of different solutions. It's about really going in there and working out what issues are there and how am I going to create something that people that need it are going to be able to use easily. So I guess that's the advice that we give to people. And just go and enter and see what happens.
That's great. Any closing thoughts, Gerald, at all?
I think from my point of view, the most important thing to everyone who wants to enter Imagine Cup is that ideas are cheap and execution is everything.
Okay.
So this wasn't our first idea. There are lots of problems that we looked at. There are lots of things that we decided that we wanted to do to change. But in the Imagine Cup, what really counts is not just the idea that you make, but how you do it, how you communicate this problem, how you make people see that what you're doing is worthwhile. And the way to do that is to basically go as far as you can. Think of what are the barriers that are coming in between you and actually getting this solution into being a working thing out in the market mm-hmm. where people can use it, and just overcome as many of those barriers as you can. Yeah, so execution is everything.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
The signal in my ear that we're going to be wrapping up and going on the next section tomorrow. Do you guys have a Channel 9 guy yet, perhaps? Do you have one of these guys yet?
I'm collecting a small number, yeah.
Yes. We got one last time when we went to meet John Scott.
Well, you know, you need. I'm an IT infrastructure guy. You have to have disaster recovery, so
yes.
Make sure that you have a
server redundancies.
Take it back to Australia. And thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
We're just going to break out the slate. We'll be right back. I believe it's Mark Rusinovich coming up next.